We'll be looking once again at Galatians chapter 1, verses 17 through 21. Excuse me, Galatians chapter 2. I keep misdirecting you. Galatians chapter 2, verses 17 through 21. We're going to be focusing this morning on verse 21. This is sort of part three of our examination of this larger passage. But our focus will be on the concluding statement, verse 21. Let's begin our scripture reading in Galatians chapter 2, verse 15, though, and that will set up for our passage. Galatians 2, verse 15. We ourselves are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners. Yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law, because by works of the law, no one will be justified. But if in our endeavor to be justified in Christ, we too were found to be sinners, is Christ then a servant of sin? Certainly not. For if I rebuild what I tore down, I prove myself to be a transgressor. For through the law, I died to the law so that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not nullify the grace of God. For if justification were through the law, then Christ died for no purpose. The reading of God's word, let us pray together. Lord God, we thank you for this bold confrontation and correction of moralism. We thank you, Lord, that you pronounce your grace, you pronounce the reality of justification by faith alone in clear, unequivocal terms. We thank you, Lord, that we can cling to such bold and clear pronouncements. And we pray, Lord, this morning that we would. Lord, conform our thoughts to your thoughts. Help us to think according to this gospel formula that Paul lays down. May we understand the centrality of Christ's death. May we understand what it has accomplished and how it has removed, absolutely, even the possibility of us contributing to our salvation. Lord, we pray that you would grow us, even older Christians, up in faith this morning. May we leave here people of stronger faith, striving for lives of greater obedience. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you don't get much bolder or clearer than this statement in verse 21 by the Apostle Paul. I do not nullify the grace of God. Why? For if justification is by the law, then Christ died for no purpose. You don't get much more blunt than that. You don't get much more clear or simple or straightforward than that. Paul lays out here a gospel formula. He lays out here a fact that we've got to recognize is at the heartbeat, is at the center of the Christian religion. If justification is through the law, then that means Christ died for no purpose. This is a profound statement that's simple in one sense, but has great application. And our goal this morning will be to conform ourselves to this formula, to conform our thinking to this formula, to embrace and digest it. Because if we don't recognize the truth of what this is saying, then we will be guilty of nullifying the grace of God. We will be guilty of spitting upon the cross of Christ. We'll be guilty of rebelling against the Holy Spirit. But in embracing this, in embracing the logic of what's presented here, we've got great comfort. And we're going to notice that this formula has great power to deal with the doubts and the fears that we face in our life. So let's dive in to to dealing with this fact. If justification were through the law, then Christ died for no purpose. And I want us, first of all, before we begin to really unpack everything that's going on, I want us to just sort of step back and note the basic fact that it's presenting. I want us to sort of glean the surface logic. I want us to glean the basic formula that is presented here. Because I don't want us to get so caught up in analyzing this that we fail to see the simplicity of what is presented here. So we're going to notice the simple fact that's presented, and then establishing that, we're going to work off of that to dig in a little deeper. Let's notice, first of all, though, the simple nature of the formula that's presented. He says, I do not nullify the grace of God. Now, this is coming at the end, sort of the capstone of his argument against moralism, against justification by any contribution that we make. And what he's saying at the beginning of verse 21 here is that what I'm saying is the only way to not nullify the grace of God. Remember, we looked at the last couple weeks at the first part of this passage. He says the only way to respect the law of God is to not pursue justification by it. For through the law, I died to the law that I might live to God. If you respect the law of God, the only way to not nullify its pronouncement, is to say, I've got no chance being justified by it. I have to flee to Christ wholly and completely. And here he says, justification by faith alone is also the only way to not nullify the grace of God. It's the only way to not nullify the law. It's the only way to not nullify the grace of God. Why? He caps it off with a statement. For if justification were through the law, then Christ died for no purpose. If we could do it, then Christ didn't have to. If we could earn it, Christ didn't have to pay it. Justification by means of our obedience rejects the very purpose of Christ's death. Justification by any contribution from us rejects the very purpose of Christ's death and thereby rejects the grace of God. Now again, let's make sure we get the very basics of what this is saying down. There's two very basic things that this formula by Paul presents to us, and I want to really make sure we get them. The first is this. Inseparably connects God's grace with the death of Christ. It's obvious, right? I do not nullify the grace of God, for if justification were through the law, then Christ died for no purpose. To understand the grace of God, you have to understand the death of Christ. When you understand the death of Christ, you understand the grace of God. In seeking one, you find the other. In finding one, you found the other. They go together. The grace of God is manifested. The grace of God is proven. The grace of God is demonstrated in the cross of Jesus Christ. Fail to miss the cross. Fail to really understand its full significance and power. You fail to really understand the grace of God. That's the first principle, the first basic fact. God's grace is manifested in the death of Christ. The second basic fact we need to glean from this is the simple fact that Christ's death eradicates the very idea of our contribution. Christ's death eradicates the very idea of our contribution. Again, note what he says. If justification were through the law, then Christ died for no purpose. If you claim you contribute to your justification, you are undermining, denying the very purpose of Christ's death. Christ's death, its meaning, its purpose, eradicates even the idea of us contributing in any way to our salvation. You cannot claim Christ and justification by any amount of your contribution. Those two things do not go together. And I want us, first of all, to just see that what Paul says establishes that basic fact. The death of Christ eradicates even the idea of our contribution. Because if we think of our contribution for a minute, Paul says, you're undermining the very purpose of Christ. There's no longer any purpose for Christ's death. So this gospel formula leaves no room for doubt or wiggle. Christ's death eradicates the very idea of us contributing and manifests the fact and power of God's grace. Christ's death equals we don't contribute. It's all of God's grace. Now, before we chew on this some more, before we think as to why this is the case, how does the death of Christ do this? Before we think about the exact purpose of Christ's death and how that eradicates any idea of our contribution, I want us to first just apply that fact that Christ's death does eradicate any idea of our contribution. We need to embrace this simple formula because it's the simple formula that has the greatest power in our lives. When we're struggling with the question as to how can I really know that salvation isn't up to me? How can I really know that God is not requiring anything of me? The answer is Christ died. Well, yeah, I've heard that my whole life. I need something more than that. How can I really know? How can I really know that even though I'm wicked, God accepts me anyway, even without me making up for all my past sins? Christ died. It's simple. It's straightforward. But that is the answer. Christ's death eradicates any idea of us contributing. Christ's death eradicates then any fear we could possibly have of not being fully loved, fully accepted by God. How do I know He won't go back on His promise even though I've committed the same sin again and again and again? Give me an answer to that. What do I need to understand? Christ's death. Christ's death. Christ's death. And interaction with the body of Christ. This holds the central place. How do I know I really have to love that person or that person? How do I know I really have to forgive that person? Christ died. That simple fact, Paul is saying, that simple fact, glorious but simple, eradicates every little bit of moralism. Completely flushes moralism down the toilet. It leaves no room for it. So we as a people seeking to be accepted by God, we must have this fact clear in our minds. We need to embrace this. All notions of moralism, all notions of contribution are completely eradicated in the death of Christ. In other words, we simply never outgrow the basic formula, even as it presented in what we would typically refer to as a child's song. We never outgrow the basic formula, Jesus loves me, He who died. How does it finish up? Something like, heaven's gates to open wide, He has washed away my sin, let this little child come in. See, we never advance really beyond that in any theology. Jesus loves me. How do I know? He died. Jesus washes away my sin. How do I know? He died. Jesus opens up the gates of heaven, lets me in. How do I know? He died. It doesn't really go any further than that. But, of course, we do want to fully understand that. We don't want to pretend like we can advance beyond it, but we want to fully digest it. So now let's turn to thinking a little bit deeper about what Paul is saying here. Let's focus on what exactly the purpose of Christ's death is. Now, this is taking Paul's formula and using it to control our thinking. In other words, what we're doing here is we're looking at this formula. If through the law, if justification were through the law, then Christ died for no purpose. We're accepting that as fact. It's the Word of God. But we want to take that and we want to conform all of our thinking about the cross, about justification, about the law. We want to take all of that and conform it to this statement. We want to digest the implications of what Paul is talking about here. So Paul doesn't state outright what the purpose of Christ's death is here. He doesn't state that outright here. But according to what he says, we can clearly derive the purpose of Christ's death. We can put the pieces together. So let's look at that. What exactly is the purpose of Christ's death? Paul says the idea of our contribution rejects the purpose of Christ's death. If we could do it, then that eradicates the purpose for Christ doing it. Therefore, what does this say about the purpose of Christ's death? Well, it says the purpose was to wholly satisfy the law of God for us. Quite simply, the purpose was to wholly satisfy the law of God for us who are unable failures, who are miserable failures, who are unable to even make any contribution ourselves. Now, we can derive that from this statement, from this formula. The purpose was to wholly satisfy the law of God for us. We can derive it because if we simply think about it, if it's through the law, then Christ died for no purpose. That means that the purpose has to do with him satisfying all that the law requires. See, if it's through the law at all, then that eradicates the purpose for Christ's death. Well, that clearly proclaims then that the purpose of his death then was to wholly satisfy the law of God for us. Because Paul's not operating with some idea. The purpose of Christ's death was to ignore the law. No, the law of God must be satisfied. So if it's not from anything that we do, if anything that we do eradicates the purpose then, we can say, has to do with him satisfying all that the law requires of us. And this is what we've been reading about in this passage, hasn't it? This really serves as a great capstone to what he's been saying. The purpose of Christ's death was to satisfy the quote-unquote negative requirements of God's law. The quote-unquote penalty, or not quote-unquote, the penalty for our sin that we often talk about in negative terms. That's part of the purpose of Christ's death. And that's what Paul was talking about there in the first part of verse 20. I've been crucified with Christ. How do I live to God? How am I accepted by him? His death counts as my death. His death satisfied the law of God against my sin. I have been crucified with Christ. That was the purpose. So we no longer do anything to make up for our sins. And we often think that way, though, don't we? We often think in terms of penance. We often think that right after we've sinned, we've yelled at our wife, we haven't respected our husband, we've thought about something we shouldn't have thought about. We often think, boy, I need to feel bad for a while to make up for that. I don't want to be too happy because that would mean, you know, I'm not really hating my sin. I need to feel bad for a while to make up for that wicked thought. That eradicates the purpose of Christ's death. That denies the purpose of Christ's death. If you are required to feel bad for a while in order to make up for a sin, then Christ died for no purpose. You've just thrown out the purpose. You don't do anything to make it up. You don't pray in repentance to make up for it. You pray in repentance because you know it's wrong. It was a violation of your loving Heavenly Father's will, and you hate it. You hate violating his will, not to make up for it. If you do it to make up for it, you're being a moralist. But Christ died for the purpose of satisfying that penalty of God's law. But he also satisfies the positive requirement of God's law. Remember, as we talked about particularly last week, And looking at the second half of verse 20, this passage is talking about justification. It's talking about how we are accepted before God, how He, as the judge of the universe, declares that we are righteous, even though we're actually in ourselves not righteous. And the way that He declares us righteous, even though we in ourselves are not actually righteous, is because He gives us the righteousness of Christ. And because this passage is talking about justification, I think that's what he's talking about there in verse 20 when he says, "It is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me." Before God, before the judge of all the universe, my life counts for nothing, but what stands in my place is the life of Jesus Christ. His perfect, absolute satisfaction of the law of God that culminated in his obedience when he laid down his life on the cross. The ultimate expression of his loyalty and his faith and his love for God was him laying down his life on the cross. So if we say, if we claim that we are brought in by the death of Christ, wiping out the negative, but then we have to contribute to the positive, that too eradicates the denial of the purpose for which Christ died. If we say, "I've got to obey the law of God, He takes care of my negative record, but I got to provide some positive record in order to get into heaven," then Christ died for no purpose. That's the way we're to think. He satisfied it all. You say, "Well, what about?" So let me make sure we get this. What about the partial contribution moralist? I'm just sort of making up a phrase there. The partial contribution, quote unquote, moralist. In other words, remember who Paul is really writing against. Remember who he's really arguing against. He's not arguing against people that claim that God requires them in themselves to wholly satisfy the law of God. They're not consistent, absolute sort of moralists. They're not full Pelagians, we might say. They're not people who are saying, "I've got to do it all myself." He's writing against people. He's dealing with people that say, "No, God does it. Christ does something. He had a definite purpose for his death, and I couldn't do it without him, but I still have to do my part. I couldn't do it without the death of Christ, but I still have to do my part." How do we deal with that objection? I'm not claiming the partial contribution moralist says, I'm not claiming that his death had no purpose. No, it definitely had a purpose. It got me started on the right track. How do we deal with that? How does his objection, how does Paul's statement answer that? Well, really, it leaves no room for it. It leaves no room for it. We are to apply Paul's formula to every degree of contribution. We're to apply it to every degree of contribution. In other words, because of who he's writing against, he does not just say, "I do not nullify the grace of God, for if justification in all its parts were through the law, then Christ died for no purpose." He is saying, if justification in any of its parts, in any way, were through the law at all, then Christ died for no purpose. See, his statement completely pushes out, completely holds off, completely denies almost the right of hearing to the moralist. Because he's telling them, if you understand the purpose of Christ's death, no chance. Justification in all of its parts excludes your contribution. In other words, the purpose of Christ's death is that his death was to be all sufficient. All sufficient. If through the law to any degree, then Christ died for no purpose, we can therefore say that the purpose was to satisfy the law to every degree. You see, Paul isn't saying here, he's not inviting us so much in to reason with him and persuade us according to his argument. I know this is, you know, these tight logical things are a bit, they can get tricky. But Paul isn't here inviting us into his argument and trying to persuade us. He's giving us a principle by which and to which we are to submit. So in other words, he's not saying, I don't believe. He's not entertaining the idea that if justification were through the law, then Christ died for no purpose that we could ever come up with. Right? Because we could come up with purposes for Christ's death. We could conceive of all kinds of purposes for Christ's death that fall short of what it really is, but allow for our contribution in justification. Allow for some degree of moralism. Paul isn't inviting us into his argument and saying, let me persuade you here according to Christ's death. He's saying, this is what Christ's death means. And so I lay out a formula as a mantra, as an ultimatum, by which you are to submit. It doesn't submit, it's not trying to submit to your sinful moralistic thinking. It's calling on you, the sinful moralist, to submit to it. And again, it's opposing the very purpose of Christ's death with any contribution we make. Beloved, when Christ died on the cross, he wasn't messing around. His purpose was the complete, perfect satisfaction of God's law for you. And since he accomplished that, we can joyfully say, if justification is through the law by any amount, then Christ died for no purpose. You've just thrown out the fact, the reason, the purpose for why he died. And to claim that he didn't accomplish that is to spit on him. It really is to nullify the grace of God. So I plead with you, don't nullify the grace of God. Don't downplay the purpose of Christ. Delight in the purpose of Christ. Let the purpose of Christ's death, the full satisfaction of the law, comfort you. And use this statement, this logic, to be a part of your thinking and your battle with the flesh. Remind yourself of the simple fact, if justification were through the law, then Christ died for no purpose. I cling to the death of Christ. I cling to his work and his work alone. That's what we're to grab onto with all that we've got. Christ says to me, the weary sinner. Christ says to me, to you, the people who recognize that we don't really want to contribute anything. I mean, if we're honest, we're just worn out. I mean, if we think about the law of God, we think about our spiritual progress, we think about all the junk we've been through. This is a delightful statement to hear because we acknowledge that we don't even want to get up off the couch. I don't even want to reach for the remote on the coffee table. I'm just worn out with my sin. I'm just worn out with even the idea that I have to talk God into loving me. I'm tired of that. I give up. See, this comes as great news. The purpose Christ died was because you can't do it. So he's done it all for you. Christ says, come to me, you who are heavy and weary laden, and I will give you rest. My death is your rest. So, beloved, let us live by this formula in its simplicity and its profundity regarding everything it means. Let's embrace the grace of God by embracing the great purpose of his death. Let's allow that to silence our pride, to shut us up before the glory of the cross of Christ. But it also, remember, silences our doubts. It silences our fears. How do you know that you are saved? Christ died. Period. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the cross of Christ, even as we confess that we don't thank you enough for the cross of Christ. Lord, we embrace Paul's statement, but we know that it's not fully penetrated us. Oh God, we thank you that it doesn't have to fully penetrate us to be effective. Even if our faith is weak, even if our faith is tiny, our faith is in Christ, and he has accomplished the full satisfaction of your law for us. Lord, we rejoice in that, and we rejoice in the fact that the death of Christ was so powerful that it eradicates even the thought of any moralism, even the thought of our contribution. May we be people, Lord, who wonder in your grace, who wallow in your grace, and who receive your grace because we understand why Christ died, and we know that the purpose of his death destroys our contribution, and in that we delight. Lord, help us to delight more and more. May we be people who live lives that proclaim this wonderful truth, that proclaim with every thought and action that we've been crucified with Christ and we no longer live, but Christ lives within us. May the center of our existence be the death of Christ and its shed blood. O Lord, that we would live confidently and joyfully before you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.